of you just tuning in, this is Steelers Today, the Monday edition. We are doing a live Q&A session on the Steelers' thrilling 23-20 overtime victory versus the Seattle Seahawks, where TJ Watt had some late game overtime heroics and Najee Harris kind of put the offense on his back. You talked about that a little bit in your daily shot, DK.
Yeah.
What'd you think of Najee's performance, man?
Well, I thought he was, let's put it this way. I thought he had to do an awful lot to achieve not nearly enough, meaning per the amount of work / excellence that he delivered, for him to end up with, you know, whatever this was, 130 something all purpose yards on 30 touches. Oh my goodness. No, you know, I mean, you gotta help the guy out, you know. Here's how this works, everybody. Leave a question, leave a comment. This is a back and forth. This is not a monologue or whatever you'd call it when two people, I guess it would be a duologue. This is not that. Bring what you got here. The first thing I have here is, and we'll put it up here on the screen, and we'll hear what you have to say, and then we'll respond here. Jacob says, let's go. Jacob is my man because the other day he was complaining he didn't get a notification, and today
got his notification.
That came from YouTube, but we're also available this show on Twitter, on Facebook, and, of course, on our site and our app, DK Pittsburgh Sports. So whatever it is that you have, we're ready for it here. Vaping All Day comes in with Here We Go, Steeler Nation. I have a feeling, Eddie, we're going to be getting a lot of this good mood around town, right?
Yeah, yeah. Hey, whenever you stay up that late and get a win, everyone's in a better mood. You lose on a late game like that, I think I'm calling off work because I'm not dealing with the general public.
Well, that I think a lot of that did happen. There were the game itself, because of the overtime and the injury delays and everything else, ended up going till near midnight.
Yeah,
midnight.
I know. I talked to my dad after, and he called off work. He definitely called in sick.
Oh no! I'll bet there was an awful lot of that
here. Oh yeah,
Jacob's trying to get our conversation going here. He says, "Was Claypool hurt?" No, he just wasn't good. 7 targets, 2 catches,
17 yards
for 17 yards.
It wasn't good.
Twice, I think, ran the wrong route. One never knows this for certain, but when you don't see the miscommunications between the quarterback and the other receivers that are going out, and you see it just with one guy, you tend to think that that's the guy that's the problem. On top of that, and the OPI, you know, down near the end zone, where it's just, there's not a lot that's working for him right now, Eddie. There just isn't.
No, and that, like, you know, when you not that it matters in the game at all, because once there's OPI, play's dead. But to push off like that and then not even come down in bounds with the football, there was, I mean, it doesn't look like he's himself right now. There was another play, I think it was in the second or third quarter, where, you know, Ben tried to hit him on the sideline again, and it was a 50-50 ball, and the defender knocked the ball out of his hands. He's a big, we talked about this the other day, he's a big guy. He should come down with these 50-50 balls.
Absolutely, absolutely. Todd Tuttle comes in with, why did the Seahawks third and fourth string running backs gash the defense so badly? That was unexpected. Todd, you unwittingly answered your own question. It was unexpected by Keith Butler, by Mike Tomlin. They schemed all week for Seattle to throw the ball. They thought that the quarterback, who had not started an NFL game in 4 years, was going to come out and try to hit them downfield. And to some extent, they were right early on. But then the Seahawks, to their credit, go in at halftime and say, hang on a second, they're not defending the run at all. What are we doing here? Let's just go. In that case, Eddie, it doesn't matter who's.
Yeah, and if you notice, most of those running plays went away from Cam Hayward, too. That was another thing they game planned in. They knew Cam Hayward was having one of the better games I've seen him have in a long time, and that's not anything against the normal game he has. But it just, you know, I don't have an answer for that one, man.
Third quarter, Cam was moved over to the left side of the defensive line, and that started to settle things down. But late in the third quarter is kind of a late adjustment when you've been burned for 110 yards on the ground.
I was just going to say that's a little bit on Keith Butler and the coaching staff, too, to take that long to make that.
It's not a little bit.
We could talk about the tackling a lot here.
I noticed Fanica and Super Bowl what is XL?
Super Bowl 40, yeah.
Yeah, man, I just made this coffee, and you want me to do Roman numerals at this ungodly hour of the day. Still bothers Seattle. They did a lot of pulling in the third quarter to open holes for the running. I don't care about Seattle, other than that they make good coffee.
Very good coffee.
Ozzy says, why do the Steelers always play down to their competition, always let teams back in the game? I'm not a big fan of generalizations like this. I'm just not. Play down to their competition. You know what?
It's the NFL.
Everyone acts like whenever these games happen that this is the only team that it happens to. It's every Sunday across the league, and not one or two examples. Like half the games are this way. You think you're going to blow somebody out.
On this subject, let me ask you a question. What are the Chiefs' record right now?
I don't even know.
They're supposed to be the cream of the crop of the NFL. I believe they're 3-3 as well. So it's not just the Steelers.
These are narratives, though. This is the part that tires me. It's playing down to the competition. It's what has always let teams back in the game. Every game in the NFL is built that way. Mm-hmm. It just is. That's just how it goes in the National Football League. I don't know why. I don't know if it's something that's within the structure of the rules because of the way they protect passers now and receivers, but it's not a Steelers thing. It's not a Tomlin thing. And I'm not somebody who's sitting here relentlessly, you know, backing Tomlin or whatever. Here, Ozzy comes back with, I was wondering if it was just me, if they waited too long to make that running adjustment. Yeah, they waited way too long. The cleverly named Caramel J. Macchiato comes in with, hey, guys, I understand trying to establish a running game, but it felt like the offense got conservative and totally went away from Deontay Johnson in the second half.
See, I'm careful with this because the last, three or four weeks, all we talked about was them establishing a running game, and then they tried to do that today or last night, and it didn't work the way we wanted it to. But I'm happy that they didn't just give up right away and then go to Ben throwing 45 times.
Yeah, no question about that. Deontay Johnson, here's another one on the wide receiver rotation from Tim Allison. He says, curious, is Claypool not impressing? With Claypool not impressing with Juju out, why was James Washington playing so little? Was excited to see more Freiermuth. James Washington, for anybody who doesn't know, had one catch for 9 yards and really just kind of sat on the bench, sideline. Yeah.
Do you have a – because there's my question to you. Do you have an answer for that?
There's – well, remember that he's coming back from the hamstring injury.
Right.
So there's that, but there was no indication whatsoever in-game or post-game of any injury to any Steelers player over the course of this night. So between that and hearing both Ben Roethlisberger and Deontay Johnson refer to Ray McLeod as the next guy.
Yeah.
Okay, as the guy we're going to be counting on, that sounded to me like there was a decision made that, hey, this other guy is not getting it done. We're gonna turn to Ray.
Yeah, that was I did notice Deontay Johnson say that, and I didn't know that they thought that highly of Ray.
Oh, they do. I don't know why, but they definitely do.
I thought it was funny. Was it on Tuesday when Mike Tomlin said called his day job returning kicks and that he was going to have to, you know, build on that. I thought that was a little clever comment that Tomlin had.
Oh,
got Eric here.
Yeah, that's good stuff here. Yeah, Mr. Eric's in the house. Bill says, should Eric's we be always in the Seattle? House. Man. Should we be giving Seattle some credit that they can improve defensively week to week? Yes.
Yeah.
And I did expect this. One of the things that was prominent in the lead up to this game from the Seahawks' perspective was that Pete Carroll had stated very strongly over the course of the week that he really felt like they've got the players, and that that they had even solved what was wrong with their defense and getting wiped out week after week after week, 450 plus yards. And when I hear a coach or the players themselves say that, and they say it with conviction, that means they do know that they've solved something and now they just need to go out and execute it. Mm-hmm. And they did. They did.
Yeah. Their defense, I thought they schemed well for the Steeler team. They were able to get, they were able to contain the running game. I do like what, again, Tomlin and Ben said yesterday, last night, after the game, that this was a war of attrition, and they felt like they won that war of attrition because that's what the Seattle Seahawks. Yeah, eventually. That's what the Seahawks turned it into. They did not make it an easy game, and I thought that I thought the Steelers would have an easier time.
Mike Costanza says, are these issues fixable or something that's going to take time and we'll see results in the future? I'm not sure what issues you're referencing, Mike, but we're still here and we'll be happy to hear from you back. For the most part, if you're asking just like a general thing, the Steelers, some issues are and some aren't. The one that Tomlin loves to bring up, sometimes jokingly, sometimes not, is that we're not going to make our quarterback fast and mobile. Okay, that one's not fixable. There are other things, though, that we've seen that definitely are fixable. Leah says, freaking cockroach can't run through those blocks. O-line definitely took a step back in the run game. Yes, at times.
I don't want to kick a dude while he's down with injury, but I thought that
he
we
was
saw
terrible.
More.
Go
I
ahead
thought
and
we,
say it. He was
I thought
terrible.
We saw a lot more from the run game when Haig came in. And,
did
and
we then, now?
Yeah,
did,
and you know what's funny?
What else happened when Joe Haig came in his previous appearance?
Green Bay, when he came in and they ran the ball better. So,
well, now, and then what happened to Joe Haig the week after that?
He got benched.
Why? All the guy does is get results.
I like him, man.
You say that like he's a pinch hitter who walks up to the plate, hits a grand slam, that you could just pull one out. But when you're talking about a guy who's come on now and performed this well, and he was also impressive in preseason and training camp, at least don't throw his name out right away.
Yeah. Yeah, I like what I saw from him both times he's been in games. I don't know why they move away from him so quickly.
Ryan, who wishes me a good morning, by the way, every day on YouTube, which is really cool. He comes in with a good morning, which is see, Ryan, I'm such a late sleeper, though, that I never get a chance to answer you or respond to you until like 7 or 8 hours later. Ryan asks, what's the word on Moore's injury? And with him, do the Steelers see Haig or Banner if he doesn't return by week 8? Well, I will remind that Tomlin cited no injuries. Now, we saw Moore get hurt. We saw Moore get replaced, but none were announced after the game. So it doesn't sound like something would be super serious there. It's not so much Haig or Banner. It's more about, it's about Chooks and Banner and Banner's readiness. And then who do you want on the left side? And the fact that Banner can't play both sides, Haig can and has, Team Haig. If you put Banner out there, he's playing right tackle, plain and simple.
Yep.
You're moving Chooks to the left side, and you're squeezing out both Haig and Moore. Does that answer the question? I don't know.
I think it answers the question. I think, we know what Banner is, and I think we are starting to see what Chooks is. I think we know what Chooks is good at and what he, he's just inconsistent.
Yeah. Jeremy says the Seahawks were desperate as well, not just the Steelers. Right. Both teams were 2-3.
Yeah.
I think the biggest concern was how long it took to make an adjustment to what Seattle did after that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Look, no one's going to remember that, a year or two from now. You'll remember TJ with the strip sack and everything else, but that defined the game, meaning the performance of the team that defined it. You can look at that as a minus. You can look at it as a plus because they learned a painful lesson, but that was it. Yes. Jeremy, completely with you on that.
Hey, before we go to another question, I got two things I want to bring up. we talked about two guys in particular. Well, three guys in particular. So three things. We talked about Trey Norwood. We talked about Pat Freiermuth, and we talked about Alex Highsmith on Saturday on our question and answer session. All three of them played very good football games. They stepped up. I wonder if, you know, maybe the Steelers are watching Steelers today, and they're, you know, everyone else needs to get on the bandwagon.
Caramel J Macchiato, which I can't say often enough, if only to try to further help myself wake up here, says it was great seeing Alex Highsmith step up last night. And Trey Norwood might be Mike Hilton 2.0, but covers better.
It's early.
What Norwood did was the most impressive, I thought, was gasp, mate, tackles.
Yeah.
No one else
was in that secondary.
Well, that's why I'm glad this is brought up here, because we're sitting here pounding Butler over adjustments, but the real culprit here was that these guys were not prepared to play tackle football. No.
That one play, man, was it? I don't know if that was that Homer or was that Barry Sanders? Or
it was Homer.
Eric Dickerson.
It was Homer. I mean,
he didn't look like Homer in that play. He looked like Homer
Simpson.
80s.
I mean, here, look at this.
They made him look something. Like
this is the what do you call it? This is media. the flip card that they give us out at the stadiums here. The Seahawks flip card has Travis Homer is down here. Okay. These are the other running backs over here. This is Travis Homer down here. That guy looked like Barry Sanders making Terrell Edmonds and Minkah Fitzpatrick miss. The tackling was almost universally bad. The only people finishing their tackles were Norwood, TJ Watt, and Cam Hayward, and everyone else was whiffing like crazy. What an absolute embarrassment that was here. Eric Winslow says, in all capital letters, yes, there is a reason TJ Watt is the best paid defensive player. Well worth it. Who disputes that?
I don't know. Yeah, and if someone is disputing it,
I keep seeing these like... Yeah, and then even from a couple of the Steelers' own employees put up something like, worth every penny. I'm like, who the hell disputed that? And he is exactly what he is. There's no surprises with TJ Watt.
I don't think he's hit his peak yet either.
Oh, I do.
I don't know, man. I think he's got a little ceiling left.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not in the business of doubting TJ Watt here. Brian Brown asks, can you guys help explain what in the wild world of sports happened at the end of regulation? I've never seen that before. I think Mike Tomlin had a great explanation for it just by dropping a bunch of F-bombs and calling it an embarrassment.
Yeah, it was so I'm watching it on TV, and it was a clear catch. Like, there was no disputing that it was a catch. So when they go to video review and say that they're reviewing the catch, like, if they would have said we're reviewing the fumble or we're reviewing the spot of the ball, okay, fine, I get that. That makes sense, whatever. But they said they were reviewing the actual catch. He had made three or four steps upfield. He made two or three football moves. I don't know what – that was just bizarre.
Yeah, I think that was a classic case of they messed up, and then they needed to find –
A reason
that they messed up, and they went, reviewed the catch. What catch?
Yeah.
I mean, we needed to make sure it was a catch. What do you mean? You called it a fumble. If you called it a fumble, by virtue of that, then that means it was originally a catch because you couldn't have fumbled it. Otherwise, it would have been an incomplete pass.
Yeah, I didn't get any of that.
Slomo Bay asks, why not run Najee at the end of the game to get the ball closer? Answer, they trust Boswell more than they trust the running game. Wait, you mean overtime? 37-yarder?
They were a 37-yarder with Boswell, man. The way he's been kicking the ball, there's no need to risk anything. Injuries, fumbles, anything like that.
I'm not sure. You know, in fairness here, and give him a chance here to come back and respond, but maybe this viewer is referring to the regulation. But that last play of regulation did go to Najee,
a
12-yard catch, one we were talking about last night here. John Witkowski says, why don't they line up Chase Claypool in the slot and get him clean catches on crosses or slants. He really struggles with contested catches out wide. Well, John, the problem with that is he really shouldn't be struggling with contested catches out wide because that's he never struggled with them. That's why they drafted the guy. They did not draft. I mean, if you keep taking your wide receivers and every time something goes wrong, you say, oh, slot guy.
You can't have four slot guys in the wide playing wide receiver.
Absolutely, positively needs to have a legit threat to stretch the field. Now, so far, the only guy that's done that at any consistent level has been Deontay Johnson, who's the little guy of the crew.
Yeah,
and that's disappointing.
And the sad thing is when Claypool is on his game going downfield, he's very hard to beat. He's very hard to handle, but it's just very rare that he's on his game this year.
Slo-Mo Bay comes back at us. 37 yards isn't a gimme. Feel free to come back at Slo-Mo Bay here. He thinks that
the way Boz is kicking, man, I'm trusting him.
Let's see what everyone's got to say here. Old Eric Winslow comes in with Boz has quite the leg and he looks so scrawny, but he can kick. Mr. Eric says, how great is Boswell? This is what you're going to get a lot of here. This guy has been unbelievable. Yeah. Since 2019, the single most accurate, productive kicker in the National Football League. Yes, including you-know-who in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
He's been unbelievable.
It is a nice weapon to have in your back pocket, you know, like that safety net blanket to where you can almost guarantee 3 points if you get inside the 40-yard line.
Carl Stock says, there was a phone in to Bill and Charlie that Steelers should have signed four mediocre players instead of Watt, honestly. Bill and Charlie, I presume that means Bill Hillgrove and Charlie Batch.
Yeah, I guess one of their post-game shows or something.
Yeah, I got to tell you, that's not going to create that kind of a feedback here. Leah says that she almost died when Devin Bush ran back after picking up that forced fumble. Did you see
Cam Hayward? Yeah. Said it looked like a play from the Little Giants.
Cam said that he was yelling, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" But then, you know what? When you saw that the end of the play, when the ball ball moves, and you're thinking, "Oh man," But you know what? I'm not going to – he had a lousy game, but he also scooped up the ball and helped to win it. So, all kinds of Boswell support going on here. Not at all surprised by that here. Mr. Yaya says, what happened to the offensive line? Looks like they regressed. You're the second one to say that here. I'm not 100% sure that they did. There was some – if you want to refer to their inconsistency as regression, go ahead, because that's whenever they're not going well, you still will see an occasional spurt or a big block where you go, whoa, like remember the one Kendrick Green threw last night, like right up the gut?
Yeah.
Totally sealed his guy and Najee goes right past him. Real nice looking game.
Yeah.
But then on the next play, you'll see Green just completely just fan and stand in space.
I don't think that that's a product of bad offensive linemen. I think that's a product of youth and not playing together.
Oh, I mean, absolutely.
It's going to, like, I know that it's funny. The buzzword I feel like this year for the offensive line has been cohesion, but it's going to take time to build that.
Richard Stone says Steelers look more balanced on all sides with an underrated special teams. I'm not sure what would be underrated about the special teams. Special teams don't really excite me all that much other than Boswell.
But I'll tell you what, Boswell had a good game, but aside from one not so great kick, I thought Presley Harvin did a pretty good job last night. That ball, that 56-yard punt in overtime set up the TJ Watt sack. He as far as punters go, he did all right.
Mike Tomlin was asked about that 56-yard punt. His response, the entire response was, he owed us one. Tomlin will never stop torturing rookies. He owed us one, referring to the one
the shank.
Right before that. Terry Taylor says, my wife loves you guys and watching this with me in the car. Whoa, hang on a second. Who's driving? Don't be watching us in the car.
Hopefully the Uber driver.
Now, okay, now that would be okay. Sarah Taylor comes in with a terrific question. Where in the world is Minka Fitzpatrick Diego? Sarah, there, Minka is not an easy player to analyze, so I'm always careful about criticizing because his presence alone keeps teams away from certain parts of the field. After last night, I am quite comfortable criticizing him. He is not playing well at all. Not in tackles, not in coverage. And by the way, what was supposed to be his claim to fame? What was his big thing that makes him
splash plays?
And splash plays, turnovers, are the results of takeaways. And hold up a fist in the air right now, a fist, and that's the number of takeaways that Minka Fitzpatrick has generated this season.
Yeah, yeah. I he definitely has not been his what we're used to seeing from him over the, you know, last year and a half that we've had him on, that he's been on the Steelers. I think that I think it's put up or shut up time after the bye week for him.
Jacob,
especially
says,
a contract year.
Do you guys feel that the refs should get fined for bad calls that affect the ending of a game? Let me ask you a question, Jacob, and I'm being completely serious here. You know that I love you, okay? I mean, you're with us all the time. If you're having a difficult time hiring and producing the best possible officials that you can at the highest level of the sport, and your entire hiring class almost has to come from within the United States and to a lesser extent, Canada, much lesser extent, because American football is not an international sport. You can't just go get referees and umpires and whatever from wherever. Okay. And you already know that the NFL is having a tough time with that and getting these guys and having the full time. And then you want to bring into the equation punishing them financially for doing something that's just human and missing calls. I hope this answers my question, or I hope this answers your question. No, no. Yeah.
Why are officials part-time? Like why does the NFL not just pony up the money and make those guys full time?
I don't know. Maybe they need another billion in annual revenue as opposed to the
that's the one
that
doesn't make sense. That's what doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, Dr. B comes in with why is the NFL having a tough time getting refs? It's just because that's not something that everybody does. You know, it's a small pool. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll look to the college ranks, but the college ranks will in some cases wrap up their own. You know, and if you go into the ACC and the Big Ten and the whoever else in college football, it's a small pool, and you promote them, and then the pool in that end has to get replenished, and it's not something that a lot of people do for a really, really long time. I know we see when we're looking, and we recognize some of the faces, and we go, oh, yeah, that guy's been around forever. These guys, most of them have not.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Brown says Edmonds has played Minka. Well, they both stunk last night, so.
Yeah, it wasn't anything to write home about in the secondary.
No. Will Sumner asks, this team needs 91 back now more than ever over the next 2 weeks. I've been treading really lightly for obvious reasons on the Stephon Tuitt issue. There's nothing in life that supersedes a family tragedy. On top of that, he did get hurt.
Yeah.
He got hurt in training camp. They not yet stated how or why or to what extent, but his teammates, when they've spoken, Chris Wormley has done this most recently, are insisting that he's going to be back. He's going to be back. So I don't have any reason to doubt that. He's working out. He's at the complex. They think he's going to be back.
I hope he is, because he's a huge part of this defense, especially, you know, what he brings in the run game. But one thing that I think is immensely overlooked in sports is the mental health side of what these athletes go through. And like you said, nothing supersedes a death of a family member, a family tragedy. So, you know, my heart goes out to him, and I hope he's ready to come back when he comes back.
We've got time for a couple more today. Try to keep this to around a half hour. Jackson says, I'm about to move to Pittsburgh. Oh, that's cool. and I'm excited to be able to see the Steelers in person. What's the best part about being at Heinz Field that doesn't translate through the TV? Go ahead, Eddie.
Renegade.
Okay. Well, that probably translates a little bit.
Renegade for me, man. There's something about, my first experience Steelers live was the 97 AFC Championship game against,
which was not at Heinz Field, obviously.
It was, yeah, Three Rivers Stadium. It was against the Denver Broncos. Steelers obviously lost 24-21, but man, when that crowd gets going and, you know, something big happens, especially in Pittsburgh with the defense, there's nothing that I've ever experienced in person live that matches that excitement and that level of energy. Well, it's something special.
Referring to the facility specifically, what you'll appreciate the most, I think, about Heinz Field is the open feel to it. It's as open as it used to be, but when you get over to the south facing end zone and you're up on the rotundas,
it's
and you're
beautiful.
On that back concourse with the city and the point and everything facing you out there. There is a reason, Jackson, that you see empty yellow seats when you're watching these games and you wonder where everybody is. They are all over there. Thousands of them. And I mean thousands.
Yeah.
Lining the rotundas and you're standing. And it's a different vibe. Mm-hmm. You know, it's you have people around you. You feel like you're one of them, like you're one of the people standing and everything. And it's a neat place. You know where you are. When you're there, let's see if we can take, what did we say? A couple more?
Yeah, a couple more. Right?
We can do that. What's over here? BMK says, I was at the game and sitting in the opposite end zone, so it was a good bit away. Lower level, the bobble was more questionable than the catch.
Oh, he's talking about the catch on the sideline that he pinned it against his, DK Metcalf pinned it against his leg. And I think it came on a big third down or
it was a catch. It was a catch.
It was close, but I think it was a catch. Yeah.
You know, the rule isn't that it has to be pretty and in between your hands. The rule is control. And I don't think anybody would doubt that at that point that he got his last foot in, that he definitely had control there. Eric Winslow says Highsmith is complimenting TJ now like Bud Dupree used to. Easy.
Highsmith one game.
Finally one game. Had a nice game. Highsmith had a real impact in this game. That was very encouraging because that's the Highsmith that we saw in preseason.
Yeah, it's same thing we said about the offensive line coming into this game. We want to see them build off it, grow from it, be better. You know, just keep moving forward. Same thing for Highsmith here. Build off of this good game. Keep making, you know, strides forward. Build off the momentum.
Yeah, Comeback says the problem is the networks pay the best refs more to be on TV. It's much less stress than being in a game. Well, I mean, that sounds good and everything, but there aren't that many guys on TV. Mm. I mean, you got Mike Pereira and a couple others, and it's like those guys would not single-handedly make a difference there. Michael Nesbitt says, does Norwood look like a potential replacement at safety? Easy. Again, when you see one really good game, no one's had a chance to scout that guy and attack him and attack his shortcomings and expose him.
Do you know what I love about Steeler Nation is the optimism? Because there's one bad game and everyone just shuts up. Everyone's quiet. No one talks to each other. It's just kind of dead silence. One good game and, man, it's right back to Super Bowl. These guys could be starters. The rookies are the best of it. I love it, man. I love the optimism.
Here's our last one. Trevor Hamilton says, how did Ben play? I thought he had a decent game at best, out of sync with wide receivers on throws. Almost cost him the game with the fumble and threw directly at Adams. Well, hang on a second. You just said he had a decent game, and then you just completely bury him with all three examples.
I think if you watch back that pass that hit Adams in the face mask.
In the face?
Yeah, I think you'll see that Deontay Johnson cut his route short.
He did.
It looked like Ben was thinking he was going to go across and he cut it to a hook. And so I think that might have been more on Deontay than it is on Ben. But again, like you said at the beginning of the show, we can't really say that for sure. We don't know what it was supposed to be. So.
Yeah, Ben had an okay day. He didn't throw any interceptions. He stayed standing upright. He's made it healthy through 6 weeks. The Steelers are 3-3. I didn't think he was great. I thought there was some regression in terms of all his checkdowns. Mm-hmm. I thought he looked way too often right off the bat, right to the flat. And that was the kind of stuff that he had started getting away from the previous week, which is a little bit of a – so I thought that part was a little bit of a bummer. JB comes in with great stuff. Thanks. No, I mean, right back to everybody. This is this was a lot of fun. And it's great to just – you know, like this, it's even greater, to be honest with you, it's after a win, because man, whatever Eddie said there about
the optimism, man,
get out of here. Optimism. You're way too nice. This guy's a pastor. He's way too nice. Okay. Steelers Nation.
That's what I do, man. That's what
Steeler
I do.
Steelers Nation isn't optimistic. Steelers Nation is looking for the cliff to drive off the end of at all times. That's just what that group is here. But let's do this again, huh?
Absolutely. I think so. I'd be all for it. It's been fun.
In the meantime, our man Jacob here has figured out why he wasn't getting notifications. And this is the preeminent concern of our time. Listen, subscribe to the channel. Then you will get notifications. That means on YouTube.
You gotta hit the bell though.
Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook. You will get notifications when these things come up. And, of course, go check out, you know, our website, you know, at DK Pittsburgh Sports. We will also send out notifications so that you don't miss these whenever they're happening live. So Ryan gets the last word. Steeler Nation Unit Stairway to 7. There you go. All right, guys.
All right. It's been fun. Thanks for hanging out with us, everybody.